I don't know a whole lot about you in this regards about how you spend your time praying and what that looks like for you, but I know that even in my own life, I spend a lot of time and a lot of my prayers trying to get God to do stuff, and really trying to get Him to do stuff now, right? Especially if I have some need, or I have something that I want, or something that I need to have happen. There are some times when I pray that, God, I can't do this, I can't handle this, this is something that's got to be taken care of, and this is something that I think should happen. And so I don't know if you do this, but I lay out all of the options for God, and I say, God, this option right here is the best option. So just go ahead and do it, because again, I can't do it, I can't make it happen, it's out of my control, and I need you to do that. Now, I am not the only one who's guilty of that. Certainly all of us are guilty, and I know I am as well, of coming to God, especially if it's something that's very, very important, or maybe something that's very, very urgent, and I need Him to take care of it very, very quickly, of coming to God and saying, God, fix this. I need You to do this. I need You to take care of this. I need You to give me this. Now, I'm really good at trying to get God to do stuff for me and fix things, and I'm sure you're like that, but my prayers just sort of drift in that direction. And for most of us, isn't it true? We're not too interested in God Himself. As much as we are, we're interested in trying to get Him to do things for us. In other words, for us, it's not really about God and getting to know Him. It's about getting Him to do things for us and getting Him to fix things for us. In fact, there's a whole theological system built upon that called the health and wealth prosperity gospel, and that's what it is. It's about using God to get more money, a better job, a vacation, a new home, whatever it is, that God exists for me. That's what they teach, that I have problems and God exists to help me get those problems solved and get what I want. And the focus isn't so much about God, it's about my happiness. God, I'm not so much interested in You as much as I am getting You to help me get what I want. But see, the thing is, as followers, and one of the things we've been talking about over the last several weeks is the true treasure is God Himself. The true treasure is Him. It's not about what He can do for us, and it's not about Him fixing things for us and doing what we want Him to do. The true treasure is Him. He's not a means to an end. He is the end. And sometimes I'm guilty of treating God that way. And I thought this week, what if instead of asking God to do something or fix something, what if God just wants to say something? What if from God's perspective, it's not a we need to fix it or we need to do something about it. What if from God's perspective, He just wants to say something? From my perspective and your perspective, it's fix it. It's handle this, it's do this, it's meet this need, it's give me this. From our perspective, it's a thing that needs to be done. But maybe from God's perspective, because He's God, what if from His omnipotent point of view, it's not about do something or fix something? What if He's saying to you and saying to me, look, if you will just slow your roll and be quiet for a moment, I'd really like to say something. That this is not a do it or fix it kind of a thing. This is, I just want to say something. Would I hear Him? Would you hear Him? We've been talking over the last several weeks about our relationship with God and how it should be personal, but for some reasons it really isn't. And we've talked about how God has gone through incredible lengths to make it possible for us to have a close and personal relationship with Him, and yet we just don't feel all that close to Him. And so that's what we're tackling in this series. And last week we talked about the fact that one of the things that has to happen for you and God to be close is there has to be communication between the two of you. That just like in your human relationships, if there's no communication between you and them, you don't really have much of a relationship. And it's true in our relationship with God, that if we're going to have a personal relationship with God, we can't be the ones doing all the talking, that we have to be at a place where we can listen. And so we've all been in relationships with people and they've done all the talking, right? You ran into somebody and they talked and talked and talked and you thought, we're not getting anywhere. Nothing's being communicated, nothing's being talked. There's a lot of words being thrown around, but we're not really communicating. No one is listening. And so last week, We began talking about what it means to listen to God and how listening keeps things relational between us and God. And last week we talked about the thing I think is the big issue when it comes to us being able to hear from God. This is the thing that keeps us from listening to God. This is the thing that keeps God impersonal and keeps things at a distance. The thing that keeps our relationship with Him from being personal. So we talked about that. You can go back and listen online if you missed that. This morning, what I want to do is I want to take a few moments and I want to give you some very, 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 very practical things, specific things that you can do to make it easier to listen to God. Now, like I said last week, we're not talking about hearing an audible voice from God, okay? Can He do that? He absolutely can. He's never spoken to me audibly. I'm not even sure I want that because I would just be so freaked out that He spoke audibly. But can He do that? He absolutely can do that. So we're not talking about hearing an audible voice, but there is some things and there is a strategy that I want to share with you for listening to God. Now, just a little disclaimer real quick before we get into this. God can do anything He wants. Okay? He can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants. And so this is just one approach that I want to share with you. So don't think that I'm putting God in a box and saying, this is how God is going to do it. This is the only way to listen to God, and you have to do it this way. This is just an approach. And I want to share with you my approach. There's a lot of different approaches. I just want to share with you the approach that I take because this is what I have found to be very, very helpful in my own relationship with the Lord. And it is the thing that helps keep it real and close and personal. If you have a Bible, I want to share with you Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We looked at this last week. Mark chapter 1, this is something interesting about Jesus, because if anybody understood what it meant to have a personal relationship with God, it was Jesus. And so here, in this account that Mark is talking about, Jesus has been very busy teaching people and talking to people and healing people and listening to them and all of that. And here's what Mark tells us, and there's one little verse that he shares with us that I think gives us some insight as we begin to think through having a personal relationship with God, making it easier to listen to Him. Just one little verse here, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." You'll notice that Jesus, very early in the morning, He got up, and He went out to a place that was out of the way, and He prayed. Jesus understood that if He was going to be put in a place where He could talk to God and listen to God, He had to find a place and a time to listen. That's one of the very first things I want to talk with you about this morning, that if you're going to listen to God and if you're going to have a close personal relationship with Him, you've got to find a time and a place to listen. You've got to find a time and a place to listen. Now, why is that important? Well, you know, like I know, that there are some environments that are better where you're listening better than in others, right? There are some environments that are more conducive for listening than others. You've noticed that. That there are some environments where I can just listen better. Every time I get a phone call at the house because of what's going on in our house or the way it's laid out, everything is so loud, you can't really find a personal place to talk. And so, you know, our family, we're laughing, we're talking, we're cutting up, we're doing whatever we're doing. If I get a phone call, I have to find a quiet place in the house so that I can take the call, so that I can talk, and that I can listen. There are some environments, you know this, that you just listen better. I learned very on in our marriage with Meredith and our family that if I had something very, very important to talk with her about, the dinner table was not the time or place to do that, especially when we have young kids because they were constantly needing things and her focus was, you know, taking care of the kids, rightly so. But I knew that if I had something important to talk to her, that was not the time or the place to talk. If you made an appointment with me and you had something you really wanted to talk with me about, you wanted to share something with me, and you wanted my undivided attention, you would be very, very discouraged if you and I met in the little sitting area in our offices and I sat down with you and said, "Tell me what's going on." And the phone's ringing and people are walking by and it's all kinds of chaos. That is not a good listening environment. The same is true and our relationship with God. That if we're going to listen to Him, we have to be in a place, find some time and place where we can hear Him that is conducive for listening, because we listen better in certain places. As far as time goes, there are times during our day when it's easier to hear from God, and there are times during our day when it's much more difficult to hear from God. Again, with Meredith and me, Meredith, if she has something important to talk with me about, she knows that she has to get me before 10 o'clock p.m. because after 10 p.m., I'm done, right? I just don't listen all that well. There is a time and there is a place to listen. Man, terrible time for me to listen to you is right before a sermon. Just to sort of give you a heads up, if you come to me before a service and you pour your heart out to me and you tell me all the stuff that's going on in your life, I love you, but I am not going to remember what you told me, okay? Right before the service is not a good time to talk to me. It's not a good time for me to listen. Now, after the service, I'm wide open. Come and tell me anything you want. Many of you do oftentimes. The same is true in our relationship with God. There are times when you're a better listener, and there are times when you're not. And what you find with Jesus is He would get up early in the morning, He would get away from His normal routine, He would get away from His normal environment, and for Him, it was early in the morning. Apparently, that was a good time for Him to listen to God. So find a time, find a place that is important for listening to God, because there are some environments where you can listen better. Well, can't God speak to me anytime He wants? He sure can. But that doesn't mean that you're in a position where you can listen. And what we want to do is we want to learn to be good listeners, which means finding a time and finding a place to listen. I want to encourage you to do that, to get away and to listen. Find a time and a place, and that's the only thing you do in that place. You don't have to get up early and go out into the middle of the cotton field and just be by yourself. You can get up in the morning, find a chair you hardly sit in, go to a room, maybe a guest room you're hardly in. Well, you get the point. The point is to find a time and a place to meet with God. Now, Jesus, again, spent time early in the morning, and I'll just tell you, that is what works for me. That one of the very first things I do in the morning is spend time with the Lord. And by starting that way, it's a way of me saying, God, I'm focusing on you. I'm reorienting my life towards you. I want to listen to you. I need to hear from you. I need you. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what's frustrating. Here's what's coming up today. Here's who I'm meeting with. Here's the schedule today. Let me hear from you. Let me know what I should do about this. How should I handle this? For me, it's early in the morning. Now, for those of you who aren't morning people, let's face it, you do eventually get up, don't you? I mean, you are here, so you do eventually get up. And what I would encourage you to do is spend those first few moments listening to God. There's something about spending a few minutes with the Lord that sets the direction for your whole day. My point is this, that if you want to be able to listen to God, you have to have a time and a place to do that. Okay, so the second question is, well, what do I do when I get there? I have found a time, I've got a place, then what do I do? Well, you take your Bible and you take a journal. I'm going to share with you mine in just a moment. But you open up your Bible and you read. You open your Bible and you read, and as you read, you know what you're doing? You're listening. Why? Because one of the primary ways that God is going to speak to you is through the Scripture. It's the primary way He's revealed Himself. The Scripture is how we know who God is. The Scripture is how we know what He's like. We know what He thinks. We know what's important to Him. Too many of us, what we do is we approach the Scripture when we have a problem. Okay, I've got a marriage problem. Let me look in here and see what it says about marriage. I have a money problem. Let me look in here and see what it says about how to handle finances. I have an issue that I need to hold on to, or maybe something that I'm struggling with, and I want to find a verse, or I want to find a promise, and I'm going to hold on to that verse, okay? And the Bible does all of that. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not downplaying the Bible in any form or fashion, okay? But that is not why we have the Bible. The reason we have the Bible is to know God. The reason we have the Bible is to know and foster our relationship with Him. And so God has given us the Scripture to reveal Himself to us, and we read it to know Him and to grow in our relationship with Him. And as you read it, you're listening. So you find a Bible, get one that makes sure you can read it, make sure you can understand it. If you don't have a Bible you don't understand, you probably won't read it. So find one that you can read. If you don't have one, there's one in the pew in front of you. You're welcome as our gift to you just to take that and start reading it. If you're not sure where to start reading, you can start reading in the Gospel of John. If you're not sure where John is, look in the table of contents. It'll give you a list of where all of the Bible books are and the page numbers where those start. And just read a chapter a day starting in John. On our church app, under the events page, we actually have a reading plan, a Bible reading plan. It's 21 days with Jesus. In 21 days, you'll read the Gospel of Luke, and then you'll read the Gospel of John. It's like one or two chapters a day. But the point is, you got to have some sort of a plan that you can use. And then, as you're working through your plan, there's three questions that I encourage you to ask as you're reading. And here are the three questions. And we'll leave this up here a moment so you can write these things down. The first question you want to ask is, what does this passage tell me about God? What does this passage tell me about God? The second the question you want to ask is, why is that important? Here's what it's telling me about God. Now, why is it important that I know that? And then the third question you ask is, how do I remember it? So as you're reading and you're opening Scripture and God is speaking to you, you're asking yourself the question, what is this telling me about God? Why is it important that I know that? And then how can I remember it? You may need to put it on the 3x5 card. You may need to put it in the notes section of your phone. Figure out a way. You're smart. Figure out a way to help you remember it. One of the things that Megan does in her bathroom is she writes a bunch of verses on her mirror. She takes a dry erase marker. She just writes verses, and every time she goes in there, it just helps her to think of those verses and remember those verses, and it helps her to do that. So you're asking those questions, and you're thinking through, and God is speaking to you the whole time you're getting to know Him. You're doing the exact same thing you do with other relationships, right? When you're with your friends or when you're with people that you're trying to meet and get to know, you talk about you, they talk about them, you kind of talk back together, you share about your life, they share about your life. You're just communicating, getting to know one another. The same thing is happening with you and God, and these questions will kind of help facilitate that as you sit down and spend time listening to God. Couple of great apps out there. One I just found this week and started using. It's called the Dwell Bible app. The Dwell Bible app. And it is a phenomenal app. You have to pay for it. It's like $29 a year, but it's so beautiful because what it does is it will actually read the Scripture to you. So if you're driving in your car and you just need some time, it will read it to you. I listened to a guy named Felix. He's from Africa. And he's reading the Scripture to me. And it's got music playing. You can have hymns behind it, the guitar behind it. You have all this music behind it. It's called the Dwell app. You can look at it. The other one that's really popular these days is called the YouVersion Bible app. And the YouVersion Bible app, what's so great about this is it's got all kinds of reading plans and devotionals. If you're not sure what a devotional is sort of a thought where someone writes something and they point out a verse or they point you to a verse and then they give a little comment on that verse and then they encourage you to pray toward those kind of things. And so all of that stuff just sort of helps you as you think through and listen to God. Those are some tools that you can use. There's tons of things out there, but those are some things that God will use. And you just find one that interests you, that you're excited about, and just use it and look forward and go into it with the attitude of, God, I'm expecting you to speak to me. How can I know you? How is this and why is this important? And what can I do to remember it? And oftentimes, I'll read a verse or two that I've maybe haven't read in a while, and I'll come back to it, and I'll underline it, or I'll highlight, and I'll think, you know, I've read that for years and never got it until today. And it's like God will speak to me directly through those verses. And let me just be honest with you up front, in the interest of full disclosure, okay? There are times when I sit down to read the Scripture, and I get a big fat nothing. I don't know if that ever happens to you. You may be much more spiritual than I am, but sometimes when I'm reading Scripture, it's like, God, I just don't feel it. I'm just not clicking. You're not clicking. I'm not clicking. Does that mean that you and God are something's wrong with the two of you? No. It may not be between you and God. It may just be the method that you're using. See, God's not boring. You're not boring, but sometimes we think it is because the method's boring. Maybe what you need to do is just change up the method. And so sometimes I'll be reading the scripture and it's like, God, I'm just not feeling it. It's okay. God understands that sometimes you don't always connect with the people in your life, do you? There are some things in your life, some people in your life that sometimes you just don't connect with. That's okay. Does it mean you no longer have a relationship with them? No. You just pick up, just keep doing what you can. Same thing with you and God. Remember, listen, gang, it's personal, right? It's personal. Just like you do other relationships, same thing happens with you and God. You're talking through things, and sometimes you're just not feeling it. That's okay. Just stay close, read the scripture, and say, God, I'm listening. I want to be close, but right now, I'm just not feeling it. And then the other thing that I want to encourage you to do is once you finish reading and listening, I want you to pray. Now, I know everybody in here prays. I would venture to say most of us pray because, you know, we want God to do something for us, or we need Him to fix something, or we need Him to do something that we really see is important. But I want to encourage you to try something in your prayer. And again, there's no rules for praying. But as you begin praying, I just want you to try these things here. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is pray about the passage that you just read. Pray about the passage that you just read. So you've been praying, or you've been reading, you've worked your way through those questions, you've answered some of them as best you can. Then you begin your time with praying. Right now I'm reading through the book of James in my quiet time. And the first part of the book of James is about trials and the things that God is doing and things He's, you know, trying to see happen. And so one of the things that I might pray is, Lord, help me to begin seeing trials the way that You see them, that I'm not alone, that You're with me. If you're reading Daniel and about Daniel and the lions, you may say something like, Lord, help me to have the courage and the conviction that Daniel did. Whatever the passage is that you're reading that morning, you begin your prayer time there. Why is that? Because that's where God has you focused. That's where God has you focused. That's where He's working through you that morning. So whatever it is that you're reading, just pray it back to God. If it's a promise, pray it back to God. If it's a challenge, Lord, help me with this. I'm struggling with this. I really want to do it. Just say back to God. Whatever comes to your mind, that verse, that passage, just learn to pray it back to God. So that's the first thing you pray. The second thing I want to encourage you to pray is pray about what's going on in your life. Pray about what's going on. Pray about what you're worried about, what you're anxious about, what you're afraid of. Spend some time praying about what's going on in your life. And as you do, again, you don't have to necessarily do it this way. This is a model. You may look at that and go, man, I don't have time for all that. And I get it. Again, this is just a way of doing things. Take as much time as you want on each of these steps. But as you pray, you begin with where God is dealing with you. And then the next thing you do is you just pray for the people in your life. Pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your kiddos, pray for your church, pray for your pastor, pray for, just pray for the people that are important in your life. And again, there's no simple or no one way to do this. You could do this any way that you want. Now, let me tell you why this is so important. Again, there's no rules about prayer. You can pray anything you want, anytime you want, say anything you want, however you want to do it. But you struggle like I do when it comes to prayer. And that is, our minds have a tendency to wander, don't they? Because mine does anyway. And let me tell you how I deal with it. Y'all don't struggle with that. But usually my mind begins to wander, and it's like, okay, I begin to pray and say some words, and then I think about something, and then I start praying about that, and then I think about something else, and my mind comes over here, and I'm going back and forth. And before long, it's like, okay, now, what do I need to pray about? And before long, your mind just wanders. Anybody here mind wander? You brave enough to live? Yeah, see? It's okay. But the value about having a plan about, you know, a model or a plan of prayer is it helps keep things structured and it helps make you feel like you're making a connection with God. There's all kinds of little maps that you can use. You have one maybe that you might like better, but I would suggest that you find some sort of an outline to pray. Sometimes people use the acts, the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, whatever it is you want to use, just use some sort of a model and begin your prayers with that. And then one last thing, we'll get you out of here. The other thing I would encourage you to do is to keep a journal of your relationship with God. Keep a journal of your relationship with God. Now, why is this so important? This becomes a record of what God's doing in your life. See, if I were to ask you over the last year, what's God been doing in your life? Most of you would say, well, let's see. But if you were to ask me, I could say, okay, in March, he did this. In February, he did this. In January, I was praying about this, and it didn't really happen, but I'm still praying about it. I could share with you what God is doing, what I want him to do, he hasn't done, what I'm learning about God, what I want God to do, and how I want God to work. This is a journal, and you can write in your journal your relationship with God. Write out your questions, write out your fears, write out your prayers. Listen, God can read. He can read. So don't feel like he's going to miss something if you don't verbalize it. So one of the great things you do is pray. Is praying and using a journal of what God has done in your life. And again, I've written down all kinds of things in here. And you know what's funny? If you were to read this, and I'm just being honest here with you because we're family, we love each other. There are months in here where I didn't write anything. And if you were to look at this journal and open it up, do you know what you would see after months of not writing anything? Simple phrase, "Dear Lord, I'm back. I've been gone a while. I'm back. I'm back." And you know what's so wonderful about this? Is not only does this, especially if you're going through other things and you're wondering, okay, God, what are you going to do? How is this going to work out? You can look back in this and see, well, God did this last time. Surely he'll do something similar this time. Or here's how I saw God working last time. I pray he continues to work. And it becomes, don't take this the wrong way, it almost becomes a Bible of how God has been working in your personal life. You know what's really cool about this? This is a great gift you can give your kids one day. Because you can give your kids and they'll look at this and go, man, Dad struggled with that. I didn't know that. And here's what God did for him. Wow. If he did that for my dad and that's how God worked, maybe he'll do something similar for me. This is a wonderful gift that you can give your kids. The point I'm trying to make is, as you're praying and listening and writing things down, this becomes a record of your relationship with God. So if you're going to listen to God, you're going to have to find a time and a place to listen to him. And as you go into that place, you open up the scripture and you begin to listen to God as he speaks to you. If he's going to be real and personal, you can't do all the talking. You have to do some listening. And just when you finish your prayer time, remember this. God is still with you. He's still walking with you. Just because you get up at 7 and say, okay, I'm done for the day, doesn't mean that God's not still connected to you. He is with you all the day. So you can talk with him about what you're seeing, about what you're sensing, about what's going through all throughout the day. That's what Paul talks about when he says, pray without ceasing. And if you will do that, I'm telling you, you will be amazed at how personal God will be in your life if you do these things. Now again, it's not the only way to do it. You find what works best for you. You may want to try this, tweak it a little bit, whatever. You got to find a time, and you got to find a place to spend time with God. And I'm telling you, there's something about doing that. And when you do that, you will draw close to him. He'll draw close to you. And here's the thing. I remember as a kid, I played street football with my friends. And we had these, you know, big wide streets like we do here in Lubbock. And you know, we played street football. And whenever I would go out, my mom would always tell me, now be home by dark because I'll have dinner ready for you. And so I'd get out there playing. Of course, it would be dark and I'd forget about it because I'd be playing. And all of a sudden, my mom would open the door and she said, David, time to come in. Got dinner ready. 1,000 moms could have called my name, but I knew my mom's voice because I knew her. I'm telling you, if you want to hear God's voice, you've got to spend time with him. If you don't spend time with him, you're not going to hear his voice. Let me throw this one promise up here for you, James chapter 4. Verse 8, it simply says this, come close to God, and he'll come close to you. What a wonderful promise. That if you will come close to God, guess what he will do? He will come close to you. Would you stand and bow your head and close your eyes? For just a moment or two, just right where you're standing. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I just want to be close to you today. And I want things to be personal between you and me. The invitation to come close to God is an invitation that's extended to every single one of us. You may be a follower of Jesus and a church member and have been following him for years. The invitation for you to come is just that. It is an invitation for you to come as well. Maybe for whatever reason, life has gotten in the way and things have gotten in the way and you and God are just not that close. That's okay. Draw close to him. And he will come close to you. For others of you, this invitation is extended to you even if there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've been coming to church, but there's never been a moment in your life where you have responded to him and the fact that he died on a cross for your sin and took care of that sin issue. And God made it possible for you to have a personal relationship with him, but you have to come to him through his Son. And this morning, if you've never done that before, we want to encourage you to meet us in the Connection Center right after this service is over. And I'll be there and I'll talk with you about how to do that. God wants to be close to you. And I know you want to be close to him. And so I encourage you today, sometime this week, to draw close and experience a close and personal relationship with God. Father, we are so grateful that you desire to do and be with us, not just do things for us, but to be with us. And to think that you're the God of the universe. You've created everything. You've got so much going on in the world and in the universe. To think that you are willing to carve some time and be with us. And the truth is, you're always with us, and we thank you for that. God, this week, help us to draw close to you. And help us to claim the promise that when we do, you promise to draw close to us. And Father, would you give us wisdom this week to find the place, to find the time. Father, to find some sort of a plan that we can use and make that time with you meaningful. Because we want our relationship with you to be close and personal. And so, God, thank you for allowing us to come to you with all of that. And Father, I pray this week that you would do some amazing things in our lives as we draw close to you. More than anything, that we would come to know you more. That we would see you and sense you and experience you maybe in a way that we never have before. And Father, draw us to yourself this week is our prayer. In the amazing name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.